Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Father, we do come to you tonight and we ask for your wisdom and your great grace and mercy to manifest itself here in our midst. Fathers, we've been studying your word in preparation for your soon coming. We do cry out, Father, from the depths of our heart tonight, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We stand in such need of your visitation, Lord, in the church today, the corruption within the church today. The warfare that we have as individuals with our own fleshly appetites and the battle against the age, the spirit of this age that we contend with, Lord, you've spoken toward it and you've said if the days were not shortened, even the very elect would not stand. Father, let us have faith tonight, but not overconfidence. Let us trust in you tonight and not in our own wisdom and not in our past accomplishments and not in our knowledge of Scripture, but let us trust in our relationship with you and believe that you love us, Father, and that you've given us grace to love you. We can't love you, Lord, of our own. It's not in us. There's nothing natural in us that seeks God. No man seeks God, your word says. And yet that child, position of child and son and heir that has now taken place in our lives through redemption. We cry, Abba, Father, we do delight in you. We long for you to be here tonight and to know you better. And so with that, the cry of our heart, we ask that you would speak to us again as we go to your word tonight concerning this subject of a holy home. A people who are a royal priesthood, a holy nation who have been called to show forth your praises. You who have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, you're coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, and there's still too many things lacking in our lives. We're still living for ourselves. We're still full of ourselves. We're still loving ourselves. We're still distracted by the cares of this life. We're in danger as we live in this crooked and perverse nation. Endangered by all of the abundance of this land. Let us never think for a moment that we've brought it to ourselves and that our own right hand has brought to pass. You said, don't forget me when you enter into the land of abundance. You've blessed us, Father, and we say thank you. And so tonight as we partake of your presence and we partake of your word. Let us take nothing for granted. And let us be forever grateful. And count it a privilege to see ourselves purified and holy as you are holy. And for that we'll give you all the praise, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Chapter 5, and as we possibly finish up tonight on this subject, we'll read one more time that the Holy Spirit says to us in this 5th chapter, verse 25, We husbands are admonished to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. So we have two admonitions that are being given to the men. Love our wives as Christ loved the church, and love our wives, he goes on to say, as we love ourselves. For no man ever yet hated himself, his own body, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it. And we've been talking about that aspect of how we relate and how we interact and the need for each of us to assume our God-given roles. We talked about it Sunday some as it pertained to the administrative aspect of the union of marriage and of the home. And we've seen very clearly throughout the teaching the distinct roles and the tendencies of men to abdicate and to shy away from the responsibility. It's yours and you're going to answer to God for it, so you might as well do it. Amen? Because you're going to be judged. You're going to stand before Jesus one of these days and give an answer. The scripture says, for every idle word. That doesn't mean you're just sitting around shooting the breeze. The idle words are the words that produce nothing eternal. Idle words are those that are contrary to the revealed word of God as it pertains to our interaction both in our homes and in the body of Christ. And so how vital it is for us to assume that role, men, of oversight and headship. We stand before our children and we stand before our wives and we look them in the face and we say, if you follow me, you're going to get to heaven. Amen? And the price that you have to pay to be able to say that in conviction, there's a lot of things that are natural, that are vanity in life that you need to put aside so that you can grasp eternal issues. It's going to take time for you to get quiet before God in prayer and hear the voice of God. It's going to take character to see from the Word the things that are in your life that are lacking and change them. Do something about it. Amen? That's what leadership is all about. That's what headship is all about. And you're going to put in the hours of intercession. The leader of the church didn't lay down and go to sleep when all the rest of the guys did. He went out and prayed while they were sleeping. So if the woman in Proverbs 31 is that busy, how busy is the man? He has to put in all of the labor that's necessary for him and spend his time in intercession. And spend his time with Father so that he can love his wife as Christ loves the church. You put the time in praying for your wife that Jesus put in praying for the church. Praying for your children. Making sure that they're raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. God has called you not because you're a special people, he told Israel, and he didn't call you because you were special. Men, most of us stand here tonight because God knew that we would teach our children and our children's children this word, praise God. It's why he called Abraham to establish the covenant and why it's called you to raise up a holy seed, praise God. And anything less than that, you're not doing the will of God. You're not fulfilling the eternal purposes for which God put his hand on you. Men, what I'm saying to you tonight is you don't live to yourself. And so these are things that are so vital that we take on as our responsibility. That's what leadership is. It means to stand before the troops and give instruction and give guidance and give orders. But it means standing before Jesus and being a hearer before you go represent him, praise God. The ministry of Jesus, who did not come to speak his own words, but the words of he that sent him. So we never stand before our families and speak our words and our mind and what we believe and what we prefer. We speak the word of God. Amen. And so as we've seen these relations and we see that responsibility and how Adam would abdicate and how he was absent when Eve was deceived by the enemy. Men, don't absent yourself from your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge, 1 Peter said. Know your wife's heart. Know what she's involved in her interactions. Know what your wife is hearing in her prayer closet. Do you take that time and ask your wife, what's God saying to you? How are you doing? What are your spiritual needs? What do you need? What do you need me to pray for you about? Do you have that rest? Or are you feeling safe? And we saw how important that word is and that's one of the roles, men, that you have of making sure that your household feels safe, that they know that they're safe and behind that hedge of divine order that God sets up about us if we're fulfilling 1 Peter 3. But if there's conflict and schism and disagreement in the home and there's that lack of subordination that we were talking about. You know, we talked very clearly Sunday morning about the need, ladies, of fulfilling your ministry. And being ready to see and to speak and to bring that input so that your husband can make good and wise decisions. They need to hear that. And we talked about the fact of at times you need to be insistent that you're able to fulfill your role. And then we talked about the fact that once you know you've been able to speak, then the responsibility falls upon the head of the home to set the course. And we talked about the word submission, and the word submission meaning rank under, but in the ranking under it talks about a ranking under to fulfill the purpose, the progress. It's the same, it's a military term, to fulfill the marching orders that were just given us. And part of the definition and part of the meaning of the Greek there is also that it's something that we take on as our own vision. You can't have two belief systems in the home. You take on and embrace the vision as your own in humility. When you're walking in humility, when you're walking in submission, it's not a heart, as we've spent the last number of sessions, it's not a heart of just acquiescing. It's an understanding of a role of now bringing on that support, the encouragement in the vision. And how important it is, because Peter says very clearly, if we don't do that, then our prayers are going to be hindered. And I think we miss this many times, and so we'll leave this subject with this last comment on that. You can study all you want, you can pray, you can fast, but if you're out of order, God's not hearing your prayers. Amen? If your home is not in order, you might as well not bother praying. His ears are not open to the unrighteous. To the ungodly. And so we realize that this is a vital part of our union and how we're able to see God move into our homes and bring us supernatural blessing and preserve us and cause us to persevere in the trials that we find ourselves in. It's very important that we embrace this, ladies. I can't say it enough. It becomes your vision. Now, to see all of these practical, demonstrative aspects of walking this out, tonight we're going to finish up with the general understanding of what has to be behind all of this. And that's a heart of love. Amen? Because faith works by. And so it's very important that we're able to walk these things out in love. If we're sacrificing and giving all that we are to try to reach a goal, but we have not love, it profits us nothing. If you give your body to be burned, it profits you nothing. Amen? We've got to love each other. And love is not something something that has to be decided upon. It's not something that we have to, make ourselves do. Love is based upon you, the lover, putting proper value on the object. Amen? Amen. And so we ask the question on Sunday, what's the value you've placed on your marriage, on your husband? We saw in Genesis that our delight is to be toward our husband. And we saw what that meant. And we asked the question, is your husband your hero? Is your husband the champion? Is your husband the treasure of your heart? Is your husband that God-given gift to you? And how tragic it is if he once was and is no longer. And can I share this with you tonight? If he once was and is no longer, he knows it. You can't hide it. You want to know why? The words don't carry the power. The intimacy is not there. The supernatural union that takes place between a man and a woman who in love agreed a covenant together, and God supernaturally, miraculously, and according to the Word of God, mysteriously makes us one. It's a mystery. But He makes us one. When that union is broken in the spirit realm and in the heart of one of you in covenant, the other one discerns it. They know. I would encourage you to get back before God and fall on your face and fall in love again. I would encourage you to get quiet and get on your face and understand what your role is again. I think in context you should know it, but I'll speak it just to make sure. I'm talking to both parties. Because without love, we don't have a chance against the devil. Amen. Without this love, we don't have a chance to stand today and raise another holy generation up. Love never fails, praise God. And so, we have the admonition, husbands, love your wives. We have the admonition, the elder teaching the younger to love their husbands and love their children. And so then we look and we understand, what love is and how it manifests itself, and as big as this topic is, and we've taught on the subject of love, and it takes weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, but just to refresh ourselves again and understand what it is, love is just basically putting that other person above yourself. Amen? Love is trusting that person, preferring that person, assisting that person in fulfilling their role. Love is long-suffering. Amen? It's patient. It doesn't wear out, praise God, in fulfilling the mandate to bring forth and show that that worth that we've placed upon that individual. It not only bears up under and endures adversity, but it's consistent, the word means, in its application. You can't be doting on someone this week and flying off the handle next week. And ladies, there is no copping out and covering yourself with the curse. Men don't have to live with an insane person for 1 week out of every month. You humble yourself before God and you believe God and you trust Him to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit will rule over the chemistry of your body. Amen? And so we understand all of these things that are so important, and that long suffering speaks of the fact of it's a spirit of self-restraint under provocation. We're not always going to be perfect, so when the other person provokes you, you restrain yourself. Amen? You don't have to defend yourself. You don't speak and hurt back. You take it. And you believe good about them. And you're concerned for them because that's not who they are and that's not what they want. And somehow the enemy's taken advantage of them, or somehow in their lack of their natural character at this time and their walk in the Spirit not being in the proper place in this time. Why would you bring prolonged, if not, you know, a indefinite period of schism and division and pain just to get back at somebody? Amen? That's not love. That's loving yourself. And so we realize that, you know, it's never hasty to retaliate. Forbearance, the opposite of anger. Some of us shoot our mouths off and think that, well, you know, I said I was sorry. You've inflicted the pain. You've left a scar. You need to control yourself. And so I've got to go through these quickly, but just to stir our thinking again in what it means to love one another and how we interact. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Amen? Being kind, goodness in action. Goodness in action. Kind means to be tender and to be compassionate. And it doesn't have to be done in remuneration for something. It's not, kindness never looks at whether the person deserves it or not. We're kind because God dwells in us. Amen? We're kind because God is kind. And so we relate to one another in that type of a relationship. Love envies not. In other words, it's not jealous. It's not a spirit of jealousy whatsoever. And I don't even mean jealousy and as it might pertain to interaction with other individuals. There can be jealousy because, you know, someone might have more friendship. They're more involved socially. There could be jealousy over giftings that take place. You know, our flesh is ugly, isn't it? And it'll act itself out that way. And unless we're letting love be preeminent in our lives, because of our inferiorities and the things we war with, there can be a jealousy in our marriages that are based upon those areas that we were just talking about that are very, very dangerous to us. It's not jealous. The King James is envies not. Love envies not. You know, there isn't that jealousy. It never holds a grudge. Boy, that would be good in our relationships, wouldn't it? How can there be ever a grudge if a fiomi is working in our lives? How can we ever not forgive with what we've been forgiven? Amen? How can we look at somebody else and want to hold them accountable for our perception and bring judgment on them when God shows us nothing but mercy? Praise God. Love your spouse that way. Never hold them, don't hold them to the law. Amen? Apply grace. Apply mercy, praise God. Love never vaunts itself over the other person. It doesn't try to take preeminence in the relationship. It doesn't push itself forward. It's not a, you know, this aspect of vaunting oneself. It's a boasting or braggart or a vainglory type spirit. It humbles itself. It lowers the value of its own opinions, and that's how we deal with it relationally. You know, practically we see it in somebody who's wanting to promote themselves and, you know, there's other ways to do that. And so one of the ways that we relate to one another and don't vaunt ourselves is by lowering our opinion of our opinions as we relate to one another. Amen. The natural tendency of man is to think my opinion is better than your opinion. But if we as husband and wife are going to relate together, then we value one another's opinions and their input. We think less highly of ourselves. And we're able then to prefer one another. Love is not puffed up. We know that vaunting itself is an action. This phrase in King James of not being puffed up, it speaks more toward the attitude of the individual and not so much the action. How high-minded are you? Pride, that proud. Sometimes those proud people all make the same face. Have you ever noticed that? And how they can look down at you, look over their glasses. Just so proud. Proud of their heritage, proud of their accomplishments. Proud of the lie they believe about themselves. And so we realize if we're going to relate to one another as husband and wife, there can't be that high-minded approach. I'm better. You can see this type of a person many times. They're arrogant. They're rude. They're just above. Surely you never treat your spouse that way. Surely you don't think your wife is less than you. Or your husband is less than you. Can I remind you? They are one with you. Amen? You are no longer a separate entity in this life. God has made you one. I've heard people say, I thank God that when the Lord finally comes, man, that there's not going to be marriage in heaven because I'm through with this, man. This is, you know, I can last a few more years, but that's just about it. So we see then how we're to relate to one another and what love really does. It doesn't behave itself unseemingly as we co-labor together. You know, it talks about a sobriety. As it pertains to relationship, I'll tell you one way that we got to be careful we don't behave ourselves unseemingly. And that's giving too much attention to another person. Talking about how great this person is in the church or this person is at work or how nice that person looks or, you know, why don't you wear your hair like so and so? And we know they're not talking about Ronnie when they say that, but you know, it's just like, you know, something that demeans your spouse publicly, that elevates someone above them in your eyes. It's a very, very unloving thing to do. Of course, the most obvious would be just to demean either your wife or your child in public. Well, they were out of order and they needed to be put in their place. That's not love. Love can find a way that's not demeaning or degrading to bring order or direction back to the household. You know, if you truly love one another and you're living in harmony, you can guide with your eye in a good relationship. We go on and we see then that love doesn't seek its own way. Man, if we could get that working in our marriages, amen? Self-interest. Everything from special friendships to hobbies to you name it. It's all about me. What suits my fancy at this time? I'm going to run and do this with this set of friends, or I'm going to run off over here and kill an animal and I'm going to go over here and kill a golf and I'm going to, you know, like the Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all remember the Beverly Hillbillies? When they were going to go golf hunting? I love that one. They found those golf clubs there in the house and he said, I don't know what these golfs are, but he said, there have to be tough critters. He said, first of all, you get these clubs. He says, you must have to beat them down with these clubs. And he said, then you put these little spike shoes on and you stomp them real good. And Granny says, I'll tell you what, I don't know about all that, but I know they're tough. She said, I've been trying to cook this egg, you know, so, you know, whatever it is that you're up involved in, whether it's golf hunting or whatever else, that you don't seek your own. You're looking to do good for others. You're laying your life down for your family. It's not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Let's say that one more time. It's not easily provoked. Amen? Stop being so touchy. No touchy. You need a thicker skin. Love has thick skin, man. Amen? Your opinion is so high of yourself, and you know, it's the ability to be stirred to anger and get irritated. You know, somebody's always on your last nerve. Any of you have a last nerve? You know, you're on my last nerve. Well, I knew that wasn't true because I knew that I'd already worn my mom's last nerve out years ago. But you know, this type of an attitude and being so touchy and irritable, and it's just argumentative. Always having to be right. Always having to make some kind of a critical statement. Always putting somebody or something down. Oh, this one's important. Thinks no evil. Amen? And we've talked about it being in two aspects. First of all, thinking no evil means you don't calculate the evil done to yourself. You're not always sitting around trying to keep score and think about how you've been wronged. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs done against itself. Should we say it again? Love does not keep a record of wrongs done against itself. It doesn't ever devise or invent evil or suppose, here's the crucial part of this, that someone's good action has bad motives. Amen? We think the best. Why is it that so often, you know, we don't think the best about our spouses? We've dealt with numerous cases of, you know, and you hear it of one spouse thinking the other one's out to get them. What a tragic thing, you know, as you see what can be in a marriage. And a good woman does you good all the days of her life, praise God. Amen? Your heart does safely trust in her. That's what God's will is for your marriage, for your lives. This is what He's wanting for every one of us. And so we realize that we don't ever think evil. We're not assuming that the person has bad motives. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. You know what we need to do is spend more time speaking about, thinking about the good things the other person does and not the bad ones. Amen? It rejoices in the truth. Why is it that our spouse can do like 10 good things and then one bad one, and that's what we want to think about? That's not love. That's not the fruit of the Spirit manifesting itself here. And so it's vital then that we allow these things to demonstrate themselves in our lives. We'll go on and look at a couple more here. Love bears all things. That word means to endure or to cover. Bearing all things means that we tolerate one another's imperfections while spiritual growth is taking place. Amen? How many of you need your imperfections tolerated? Do unto others. Amen? And so true, genuine love for our wives and true, genuine love for our husbands, what we do is we realize, hey, they're just like me. They're warring some of this stuff. They're not perfect yet. And so love is aware of that and allows this growth process to take place. It bears or covers all things. It never exposes the weakness of that other person to others. You cover up for your spouse. I don't mean cover up sin. But we always seek the positive and the good. We are never the one to speak or reveal anything that's lacking in our partner's lives. We know the curse that came upon Ham for exposing his father's evil, right? The other two brothers put the cloth up and backed in and covered their father up, but Ham went about and spoke of his condition and publicly revealed areas that were lacking in his life. We don't do that about our spouses. You don't go talk to your girlfriends about what kind of a jerk your husband is. Cover for that jerk. Amen? Love him. Fulfill your role in building him up. Tell your husband how much you delight in him and how great he is and how thankful you are for him. And we've spent a lot of time talking, men, about how we need to use words. You know, you're not one of the great generation. What do you want? I'm bringing food home. You got a roof over your head, don't you? Don't you think that means I love you? What do you think, huh? What do you want me from me? How about if you just tell me you're thankful for me? How about if you think I'm beautiful? How about this one that's as or most important of all? You know, I really need you. I thank God for you. I need you in my life. And so we see in these relationships, that love bears all things. It believes all things. It always takes the best and kindest view toward that person, your spouse. Can you say that's what happens? It always gives the benefit of the doubt. Puts that person in the best light. You believe they're better than they seem. Love. That's how God loves us, and that's how we're to love one another. Amen? Amen. Hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. And so if we're going to operate successfully, if we're going to see the Holy Spirit rule in our homes, then we've got to stop vaunting ourselves and we've got to stop being so selfish and so self-consumed and so full of ourselves in our opinions. And we're to prayerfully consider what we've looked at these last 8 or more sessions. Am I fulfilling God's divine order? Am I fulfilling my God-given role? And these are not suggestions. It's not the Lord saying, you know, it'd be nice if you'd do this. He's saying, if you don't, my blessing won't be on your home. How can two walk together if they're not agreed? Amen? Two are better than one. One puts a thousand to flight, and if we get an agreement and become one, truly two becoming one, we put 10,000 to flight. Love endures all things. It waits for God to work. Don't think you have to fix everything right at this moment. Amen? Don't panic when in some areas of our lives we have to deal with 7 times 70 before we see deliverance. Love doesn't ever give up. Love is not exhaustible. It never fails. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we just ask you to continue to work in our lives, to bring us to this place of death to self, that we would become very clear on what our role is and what you are desiring to do in your church today. This isn't just about us having nice marriages. It's about you having a holy church. Because all the crud in the home just gets drugged into your church. We ask you to do a great work here in our midst. And for you to be glorified, Father. And we will give you all the praise and all of the glory for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Before we go tonight, we're going to pray for Josh Perosic, and he's got an appointment in the morning. They believe that his eye is dying, and we've heard that before. Amen. Father wants to manifest his glory in this life and in this body. They say his eye's dying. The Bible says that he's healed by the stripes of Jesus, and that's what we believe. Josh, if you'll come, the word says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up, praise God. That's what we believe. I'm not just believing if the brethren will come, we'll pray with Josh in just a second. I'm not just believing that they're going to go in there and say, well, you know, wow, what a reversal here. You know, the eye isn't dying. He needs to see in the name of Jesus. We're not just asking for the tissue to remain alive. We're asking for sight. We're asking that this blind eye will see in the name of Jesus. That's what we're believing for. Hallelujah. Let's stand before the Lord. Let's see God glorified in His church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ho maso barakande satata bashanata. Honi mashela harekita. Show yourself mighty, Lord. It's your word. It's your word, Lord. We come to you and we expect you to be glorified. We rejoice in your mercy. We rejoice in your healing power. We rejoice in the name of Jesus. We rejoice in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for manifesting your power among us tonight. I ask you to change this heart, Father. We're asking you to raise up a mighty vessel to the kingdom of God. Father, we're not just asking you for healing. We're asking you to separate to yourself a holy vessel in the name of Jesus. We bow our hearts before you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just praise Him for His word. Praise Him for His goodness tonight. We glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Messiah, Rahanda, Sato, Bahpata. Nothing less, Lord. We believe for nothing less, Lord, than your great visitation, your miraculous power. Be glorified, Lord. You are God alone. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you've said our faith is the victory, and we receive that victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, faith works by love. Hallelujah. Go in peace. God's love go with you.